oh, like, I'm gonna get sober and, like, lose all my creativity and, mm-hmm. like, I'm never gonna be able to, like, do art again. Like, it's just, like, ego-driven kind of thing. But it was kind of the opposite. I, like, dove into it way harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I had all this, like, emotion and crazy, you know, stuff as you have, like, when you're, you know, going through sobriety or whatever, especially early days.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
Sarah, why don't you do the intro?
Why don't I do the intro?
Yeah.
Bro, I've had the giggles all night. Okay. All right. Welcome to the Most High Show, made by and for people in recovery, a show about recovery, spirituality, and being human. Our mission is to provide impactful, community-driven media that informs, empowers, and inspires positive change. Real people, real stories, real life. This is the Most High Show.
Now we get a clap. Great. So our guest today... We have a guest.
We do have a guest.
Is Bates Green. He is the founder of Not You Clothing. You're 26 years old.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And 6 years sober.
Yes, sir.
Maintained your recovery. Clean and serene.
Life is good, man.
Yeah.
Life is beautiful.
And you've turned your creativity into a career in sobriety.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, man.
So, everybody, please welcome Bates to the Most High Show.
We need, like, that air horn
effect.
The live
studio audience is great.
Yeah.
Just all these people just want to hear you talk.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, go ahead. Take it off on the background.
Yeah. Well, really excited to have you on the show, especially, like, with the creativity aspect in recovery, because that's one of probably, like, our favorite topic to discuss. So why don't you talk about a little bit about like how you got started into creativity? Like, is it all visual media? Did you explore any other routes before landing where you are? Like, what was that journey?
Like creativity and like recovery, you mean?
Just
like
in your life in general? As yeah. a person?
Yeah. It was probably, I gotta give credit to my grandfather. He was like, he's an artist. He's an incredible artist, actually. And my whole childhood, like, I spent, like, tons of time with him. I would, like, he's basically my father figure, so I would go over and just kick it with him. And bet. Thank you, sir. Yeah, I would just kick with my grandpa and paint, like, from, like, my earliest memories, you know? I was, like, 4, 5, 6, 7, like, all the way up till probably, like, 10 and 11, just painting, hanging out, and doing art. And I think, like, I don't know if he was aware of, like, how much he was, like, instilling that into me, but I think, like, looking back, I think he... definitely was like consciously like putting like creative juices into me as a young child.
Yeah.
I'm super grateful for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's such an easy way, like, as a kid, just to be able to express, you know, because you don't necessarily like understand words and you can't write yet, but yeah. like you can color. Like, I got the opportunity recently to paint with my nephew. Oh. And he's 2 or 3, can't remember anymore, but he's young, and he was painting with me, and then like he painted on my canvas, and my brother was like, no, like keep it on yours, and I'm like, no, this is the greatest painting ever now, like you can teach the discipline with somebody else, but he wanted to do that on this, so by all means, let him express himself.
Was that your experience with your grandfather? Was it just a free expression for you in the painting, or was he teaching you craft and discipline?
No, I mean, I remember him being, like, very, like, just kind of setting me up. He would, like, get some paint, he'd, like, get the canvas, and he would just, and it would be in his basement, like, studio, and he would just be like, what do you want to paint today? Like, and sometimes he would draw, like, outlines. Like, I remember, like, Spider-Man. I have, like, a bunch of, like, Spider-Man paintings, and he would just draw the outline, and then I would get, like, red and blue and just go to town.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, just, like, abstract is basically a fancy word for just, like, random shit. But,
you're like, I didn't color inside the lines.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he, yeah.
Did that stick, did that always stay with you, or did you lose creativity for a while?
Yeah, like, I mean, life happens and stuff, like, different focuses and things. Like, I feel like when you're, like, young, you kind of don't have a ton of control of, like, what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, your parents or your grandparents kind of set you up kind of, like, with sports or, you know, you find out passions and whatnot. It's funny, because he actually introduced me to art but I wanted to skateboard from a young age. And my mom later told me that, like, he was not down for me to skateboard. He was like, he's going to get hurt. Like, don't get him a skateboard. And, like, my mom kind of said, like, F you to that and got me a board.
Hell yeah.
But it's kind of funny how that works, though. So it's like, I think, like, your question was, like, what was your question again?
Well, just wondering if that creative, because getting the creativity instilled in you at a young age, like, did it stay with you? And it sounds like it didn't. Like, you shifted to a different kind of expression through skateboarding. And skateboarding is not just like the craft of skateboarding. There's also like a, you know, there's kind of like a rebel mentality to it. There's kind of like a life, like, we're doing our thing here. Mm-hmm. We're going to skate where we want. And there's a little bit of a lifestyle to that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like a dad talking about skateboarding right now.
But because you are a dad talking about skateboarding right now.
No, you're kind of hitting the nail on the head. There's like definitely like a, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's right.
Yeah. Right.
I wasn't, whoa.
Yeah, dad's right, bro.
But yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, to answer the art thing, like, it wasn't like I've just been like painting like for 26 years straight, you know what I mean? Like, it comes in phases.
Just came out the womb but painting.
It definitely, like,
born with a paintbrush in my hand.
Yeah, exactly. But it definitely, like, those young years, you know, mm-hmm. like, you kind of just absorb a ton, I think.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, being that young, I think, like, it kind of, like, as an adult, I find that that's, like, how my brain, like, knows how to, like, put stuff out there, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, like you even talked earlier, like, music is like that for you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that's, like, all I kind of know what to do. You know what I mean?
It's visual art.
Yeah, I mean, like, it kind of, like, only, it's, like, the only thing that really scratches the itch, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so did you ever, like, consciously try to, like, hone it in a certain area where you're like, wow, I really need to focus on drawing, or I really need to focus on painting, or I really need to focus on, like, whatever technical skill? Or was it always just, I just need to express myself and whatever happens, happens?
Yeah. It wasn't ever, like, a calculated thing. I was never, like, I'm going to, like, this is how it's going to go down. I'm going to, like, do art and then I'm going to, you know. Yeah, definitely wasn't, like, super calculated with it. It was kind of just, like, a hobby that I found to do. And just, like, yeah. I don't know. What was the question again? I'm sorry, the question? I keep forgetting.
It's okay. It was, like, if you ever, like, consciously, like, made, like, wanted to grow your technical skill, or if it was just always just something you did.
Well, I think it would be important to do. And this is a note for our editor and post. It's like, pop up some of the pictures of your brand. So people get an idea of the creativity. I really wanted to go sleeveless, and I didn't want to cut my Not You shirt.
Yeah.
So I'm not wearing a Not You shirt today, but
I like that shirt, though. It's cool.
Yeah.
That's been the talk of the studio tonight, your
it
shirt.
It has, yes. So I think that's be good for people to see if you're watching this episode. And if you don't watch it, then maybe go to the app and watch it, because your brand is very unique, and the art that's expressed, that's all your art, all the designs, and even that recent one with the denial and the lying with the shadow and the eye, that's all you doing all the art. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
And I think that kind of lets people get an idea of kind of what you're talking about and the way that you express, because you're expressing your art in a very unique way. It's not like you could have set out and say, hey, I'm going to create a brand and I want to exist in this system, and then been like what everyone else does. Mm-hmm. Right. But you decided to go in a much different way, which makes the actual printing of the shirts more complex than just a straight up vinyl press, or like this shirt I have on, which is like a, where it's like interwoven into the, so like you're choosing to do this art in a very different way, which also presents challenges in the way that you actually manufacture the gear. So I think it's important for the audience to understand that now, when you're saying this about your grandfather, and then I'm thinking, visualizing all your designs, I'm like, oh yeah, this is like, this has a childlike quality to it, a connection to, kind of like, you're not trying to be perfect, but the symbolism and the way that you're executing it, it feels very real. And I think that's what people like about the brand.
Yeah. Thank you, bro. Yeah, no, that's well said. Like, I definitely, like, I'm not like this crazy artist. I feel like some of the questions is like, how do you like curate your art? And I'm like, I feel like I'm like kindergartner still, just like doing little doodles, you know? And then they kind of like make it to a shirt. And then like, even like the shirt is just like, it's just like another medium.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So I think that's the cool thing about art, though, is that you have the people who are like what you're describing, like strictly expressionists, where it's like, I'm just letting it out and what happens, happens. And then, yeah, it might make it to a shirt or it might make it to a poster or what have you. And then there's the people who are like, I really need to master being able to draw hands because I have these scenes that I want to draw and I can't draw these scenes if I can't draw a hand. And, you know, there's people who take the very technical approach and then there's the very expressionist approach, and they're unique and beautiful in their own right. And it's just, you know, it's always cool to hear about another artist's process with it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I'm blowing up the outline here, but the next question I have is, when you're designing things for the clothing brand, what do you do with that judgment mind that's in there, kind of either comparing you to other brands or other art? How do you deal with that?
That's a good question, actually. I think like I've kind of been doing it for a good couple years now, and like I think like people, I've found like what people resonate with, and it's typically like the shit that's just like vulnerable. So like, yeah, like I think the things that are like vulnerable, and that's what I try to do, is like half the time, like, you know, everyone's their own worst critic and shit, so but yeah, like basically, like, there's, like, a graphic that comes to mind, like, filling the void, for example. Like, I don't know. It was, like, I look at it, like, all the things, and it's just, like, darker times, like, that I was going through. And, like, my recovery, for example. Like, the denial thing, like you mentioned. Like, it's just, like, a coping mechanism that I genuinely just Googled. I was, like, what does denial even mean? Mm-hmm. And it's, like, lying seeks to deceive, and denial just seems is to protect, basically. So, yeah, like, when it comes to like, yeah, like, I
like think it's managing just that critic, or like, is this, you know, because it's like, I know, like, when I'm creating, there's sometimes I'll think like, because like Dave, my friend David, listens to all my music, right?
Yeah.
So I'm always like, oh, David's gonna like this, you know what I mean?
David's cool.
David's cool.
He's a man.
But I think there was a time when I was making music, and I was like, okay, is this going to get placed on TV? Is this going to be on, is this radio worthy? Is this, like, I was judging it based on the current system in place and the popularity of those things. So I was, it was still art, but there was so much, I guess, more craft in it. And it was less vulnerable because it wasn't honest. It was just, I was trying to create something that I thought might make me money.
Yeah, not, I'm picking up what you're like putting down now, like, because I was getting confused for a sec, but like, yeah, like I really don't like hit the drawing pad and I'm like, let's make some designs that are gonna like sell well, because then I would just probably do like a generic like pocket print right here and then like the same print on the back, like that you see a bunch, and people have like suggested that, and that's kind of weird, like to get a bunch of input sometimes and be like, oh, like maybe I should make this and like it'll sell at this store and it'll do well. And like, there's been a ton of things I've made that like did not sell, like even like one piece, like tons of shit, like,
really?
Yeah, dude. But yeah, to answer your question, I don't really like make things to like to sell, really. Sometimes they hit and sometimes they don't, but like I think that's good for me because I'll just get burnt out, like that's because, yeah, I'll just get burnt the hell out if I keep just trying to make something that is going to like quote unquote do well and like follow a trend or whatever it might be. So, yeah.
But how does that feel when you make a piece that doesn't sell? You know, does it feel like almost like a punch to the gut?
Like, yeah, it does. Like, honestly, like, I mean, it is kind of like you have like things tied up, you spend money and resources and energy on things, you know, but it's all a lesson. I feel like I don't regret doing anything like that. But yeah.
All right. Back to the outline.
Back
thank
to
you.
The outline. Yeah. Thanks for
this
destroying
cool.
it.
Thank you guys for having me, by the way, too. Like, this
absolutely
is really cool.
Yeah.
Christian, you're the man, dude. You're the man, bro.
Well, Sarah says I'm the dad, so you know.
He's a man.
Dads aren't men anymore.
Well, you know.
I mean, I don't know. A bunch of people did wish me a happy Father's Day, so.
Yeah, hell yeah, because you're fathering styles out here with that fucking outfit, bro. Oh, yeah.
Thanks, man. Yeah. You are the man. The fit is Bates sick. Is right.
I like the fit. It's cool.
Thanks, man. I made these pants. But
you made the pants?
I made the pants.
Look at us. We're just a bunch of little creative little cronies here. Hell yeah.
So you mentioned, you know, having that lull in your creativity, and then obviously you got back into it. Do you think sobriety had something to do with that, or?
Definitely did, yeah. Like, I never, like, really, like, my art never, like, lived anywhere, to be honest. Like, it was just kind of, like, something, like, I kind of, like, thought was, like, a part of, I mean, it is a part of me, and I identified myself with it, and I would do, like, little, like, sketches, and just with, like, skateboarding culture, like, it was, like, oh, like, some buddies like screen printed some shirts and like everyone's repping them at the skate park, and like it was kind of like a something, or people would like print stickers and stuff. But I got sober, and it was kind of like the classic thing like we'd even talked about, was like, oh, like I'm gonna get sober, I'm like lose all my creativity, and like I'm never gonna be able to like do art again. Like it's just like ego driven kind of thing. But it was kind of the opposite. I like dove into it way harder.
Yeah
It's like I had all this like emotion and crazy, you know, stuff as you have like when you're, you know, going through sobriety or whatever, especially early days. So yeah, I just went crazy with like drawing and putting my emotions on out
yeah
for the first time, because basically when I was getting sober, like I had bottled everything up for years, you know what I mean? I feel like y'all can probably relate, like you kind of just don't it all stays in.
Yeah, you just numb out completely. Yeah. I would
not talk. Even talking right now is still like something I'm learning today, but
like these aren't t-shirts.
Say what?
These aren't t-shirts, these are people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like that was the whole thing. It's like I don't know how to like talk about my feelings, like, and I'm learning every day. But like so this is kinda like a brand new experience for sure, if y'all can't tell, but
you're doing great.
Hell yeah. But yeah.
So you didn't have any lull from between, because I know I had some lull from when I got sober, where it was hard to pull it. Because for me, creativity kind of comes from out of the air, kind of pull it in, and then I do something with it. And I wasn't getting anything. And especially in early recovery, my whole identity was wrapped around my creativity, my music, and I'd been striving for this success for years, and so then not getting it was kind of like a panic. Did you experience any of that? Or it sounds like you're saying that as soon as you got sober, there was this outlet that was not there before.
Yeah, I had the opposite, to be honest. Like, I felt like I was, like, flooded with it. And, like, because just what I was doing when I was using, like, it was basically numbing everything. Like, I was feeling absolutely nothing. That was kind of my goal, was I felt like I didn't know how to handle the emotions and just life in general, and all the problems and the highs and the lows. So I was just completely numbed out. So then it was like I got cleaned up, went to treatment, and I was just like overwhelmed. Like I would just like, I couldn't control like my emotions actually. Like I would just like cry. Like,
oh, hell yeah. Crazy.
That's great.
All my friends probably like can vouch for that. Like I would just cry like uncontrollably.
Call them up right now.
Yeah. Post a nose.
Yeah.
For sure. But
there's a shirt, Costa Knows.
Costa Knows.
Costa Knows. Yeah, I love that, because I didn't have any emotion for years. Mm-hmm. It might have been the substance I was using. You
definitely
know, took a while to get it back. Cocaine kind of like robots you out a little bit, you know. And I think it took probably a year or two before I cried, like cried. Yeah, now I cry like.
It's good. It's good yeah, for you, man.
It is. It's beautiful. Now I like when I cry, I'm like, oh. That feels like so good to let that emotion out.
Yeah.
And
we should all cry right now. Let's just a little cry session.
Cry on camera.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But you mentioned earlier that when you were in treatment that y'all had these art nights. If you hadn't had those, do you think you still would have been expressing yourself with art, or were you just been crying all over the halls?
No. Yeah, the art nights were fun. Like that was what was cool that I noticed, was a lot of people had this kind of like void, I guess you could say, to like a creative side. that they wanted to do. And I had many people, well, a little backstory. Basically, we had like a group house with a couple of my buddies that we lived in. And we just like, we're like, hey, we should have a night where we do like artwork and all kick it and whatever. And then it turned into like every week, like every Tuesday night or whatever it was, like people would come over, bring some paint, bring a canvas if you got it. And we'll all paint. It was during COVID, so like no one had anything else to do. But yeah, like people would come up to me like, dude, this is so cool that we're like doing art. Like I used to do art like in high school, or like they'd pick it back up for like years ago. And everyone that would come was in treatment at the time, so we all were, like had that bond or whatever. But yeah, like it was so fun. I think I remember one time we had like 50 plus people at our house. Like
that's crazy.
Like 4-bedroom house, like all in the like living room, like all doodling. Like I could pull up some pictures of it, but it was crazy. But it was cool, man.
Yeah,
it was cool. Like people told me like, yo, this is like helping me a lot, like to be doing artwork, like getting clean. So I think there's something to be said with that. Like I've heard like treatment centers doing like yoga or whatever, like they'll like do paint nights or whatever, and like some people like don't do art at all, like, and they don't really have that like itch, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But like if you do, like you definitely know what I'm saying, you know.
Well, I think even if you don't have, consider yourself a creative, to sit down, especially in early psychological, spiritual, emotional transformation, and to be given a tool that you really don't use often, and to just go, now just do something.
Yeah.
I think it's a human, there's a human ability to then just whatever, and it can access parts of yourself that linear thinking and story thinking can't access, because you don't even know why you're painting what you're painting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then a really good therapist could come by and go, oh, that's interesting. Someone who might be familiar with your story. Yeah. To go, oh,
I don't want a therapist looking at my stuff.
Oh, boy. I had a therapist who, it was like in sobriety, we were reaching a plateau where like I could no longer verbally express to her what was going on. And so she gave me these prompts, and she was like, you have 60 seconds to draw what I'm telling you. And I was like, whoa. I'm like, I can't draw. I'm an expressionist. I can't. She was like, just do it. I'm like, okay. And so we did it, and she was looking over my little drawings, and she was just like, okay. And it wasn't long after that she fired me. But but the art, you know, has always, like you mentioned, like you can look at your art and see when it came out of a dark place, like in your recovery or just a dark place in your life. Because I can do the same thing with mine. Like I have this one piece that when I painted it, I called it a self-portrait. And when I showed it to other people, they're like, that is the thing of nightmares. And yeah. I'm like, well, I think, you know, that's pretty, like, it helps me to know, like, okay, that's where I was then. Now, if I were to do a self-portrait, it would look nothing like that, you know? But it is very, like, when words fail, like, you use colors. You can, even the process is therapeutic.
I think that's something that's been weird. And even just, like, talking about it is kind of vulnerable. Because I think art is, like, a safe thing that, like, a lot of people do that, like, never get seen. And it's just kind of like a journal almost.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's been a motivator for me, because at first I was very hesitant to put anything out, you know what I mean?
Like to let people see it?
Yeah, like to put your art out in the world. It's like vulnerable, you know what I mean? People kind of like always, it's just opening the world up to the, like receiving it and input or whatever it might be. But the thing that was like really motivating for me and like why I still do it is like I don't do this because it's like, oh, like I, Bates, want to like do a bunch of art, and it's like the Bates show and like look at my art and shit and buy my art, you know what I mean? I don't really look at it like that. I look at it as like the feedback that like, oh, like somebody's like that I don't even know maybe is like, man, I really like related to that hoodie, or I related to that like painting or that video you made or whatever it was. And that's the thing that kind of keeps me going and like even like pushes me to get out of my comfort zone and do things like this, such as, but it's because like I was saying, like if I can be vulnerable, like it kind of meets some, it allows someone else to kind of do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's like the thing that like actually keeps me going through all the times when like a shirt didn't sell, you know what I mean? Cause if I'm like, all right, like the business plan is this and the fucking like the shirts didn't sell, like I would have quit a long fucking time ago, to be honest. So it's like, it's the people like that, that like believed in it and related to it. And like, I mean, I have countless friends that like have OD'd and passed that like had clothes of this, like of Not You, that it's like they would probably want me to keep going, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like shit like that that I'm like, all right, like maybe I'll like go crazy and print some shirts still and like,
yeah,
be vulnerable. But yeah, like I don't really look at it as like Bates the artist that like is expressing himself and everyone's like receiving it.
Yeah, like it's the weird. pretentious yeah, artist
like,
trope.
I
yeah,
I like that. Yeah, I like it to be like, hey, like let's be creative and like if you relate, I really hope like this vulnerability can be like received. So I think that's like a better way like that I look at it. And like when yeah. I'm like sitting down and like doing these things or like
really I think anything. I wore like that denial shirt out, taking my wife out dancing, like some
hell yeah,
you know, random like, you know, band playing there and like
that's cool,
and just people going, what's your shirt say, and reading that. And so I think there's like a connection with people who buy Not You that they understand that it, they're not just connecting like Bates the artist. I think they know they're connecting to like a deeper truth about humanity and what it is to like be connected to these intense emotions that we feel on these like I'm thinking of the one with the balloon where the person's like holding a hoodie. What's yeah. the what's the title of that one?
It's like he's holding the balloon and he's like, sometimes I want to float away.
Yes. Yeah.
Like looking at the balloon in the you know how you like see a balloon like at a circus or whatever, like mm-hmm. the fair, and it's just like floating up in like the
yeah
like 1,000 feet up. You're like, dude, that looks fun.
Yes.
And all Katy Perry could come up with was a plastic bag. Like
Katy Perry snapped though on that one. Yeah, Katy Perry snapped. When I was like 10, I was like, I'm a plastic.
No, literally, I think I uploaded a cover of me singing that song to YouTube. I was like, no shoot, way. I did.
Someone Google that right now. No. Let's find it.
Yeah. No, and it's
insert
gone.
Insert that into this episode, please.
It is gone.
Yeah, everyone that's smart like deletes their old YouTube. Like,
yeah. Archives. Do you know how many yeah. terrible covers I uploaded to YouTube?
No, really?
So many.
I had no idea.
We don't need to talk about it. I actually never did that. I just lied. Just kidding.
And then we did we did karaoke last year, and it was like you were so nervous. That, like, you were like I actually don't. Shaking
Shut up.
To sing karaoke.
Shut That's up, man. Nightmare. No.
But now
You're
I
ruining
know,
my image.
Now I know that you actually like it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't tell That's anybody.
Awesome. Yeah. It was strange to like seven
It's
people.
A different beast, though, like, just singing in your room, like, in front of the laptop.
Yeah. It can, it's because it's the same way of, like, cool, now I painted this thing, and now no one ever has to see it.
Yeah.
Or, like, wrote this thing, and no one ever has to read it. No one ever has to, you know, have their criticism, because everyone
There's
has
so
their...
There's so many good, like, singers and artists
oh
that,
my God,
like, there don't,
are.
You won't even know.
Yeah.
Like, it's always the people, like, oh, I suck at singing, I suck at art, and then they're, like, pull out some crazy stuff.
Well, every song that my son, he's 17 years old... Every song, every band that he sends me is like, you know, 30,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, 20,000. It's like, and that was the same way in high school. It's like, I wanted to listen to the music that was not popular.
You were a hipster before it was cool.
Edgy, man.
Yeah. Like, and I think there's something to that for, like, you want to, I think people in general, like, we're looking for the deeper truth. There's a lot of us who just kind of see the facade of life and kind of go, mm-hmm. if that's it, then fuck it, you know? But so we look for like, and sometimes those smaller artists or those smaller imprints and those smaller nonprofits like us, like, you know, we're trying to stay true to truth and stay vulnerable and stay honest. And there's a cost for that. And sometimes the cost is you don't pop like everybody
The cost
else.
Is your profit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I think, you know, like what you were talking about earlier of like, you don't create shirts that are going to sell. You just create art that makes it to a shirt. And like, that is, you know, when you find the smaller artist, you know, the people who make it big, people don't get big by accident. Like there's a formula behind it. There's an entire team working with like, this is what people like. This is what people don't like. Okay. The people responded well to this. So we're going to go more in that direction, and it loses the authenticity. And so like, you know, it's people are like, oh, I knew that artist before they got big. That meant something different because it's like, yeah. There is a definite shift. Like when someone goes like, oh, well, I like this band. Well, I like their older stuff. You know, it's right. like before they got big, before they started selling out, before they literally selling out stadiums and then selling out, you know? It's just you lose the piece of the art, and it just becomes a business. And it's so sad when the business side of things makes the art side of things disappear. Anyway. Yeah.
But you kind of got to have that. You need the resistance to keep, because there's something about art that has to exist in resistance to something. I don't know if this makes sense what I'm saying.
Like, it's not art if it's not anarchy.
To a sense, like you can, it's the difference between art and design, right? Like I can design something that I know, like the crown that's on the table here is a design, and maybe it starts to take on an art feel once the culture of our community starts to get behind it, and you see the crown and you see all your peoples wearing the crown, and you go somewhere and someone's wearing the crown and you go, oh, that was that Most High, then it starts to mean something. But it began as just a design, not like art. But art itself has to kind of be in opposition to something. If it's internal or societal, I think that's kind of what separates design from art.
I like that.
Well, I mean, you drew this logo and it didn't mean anything, and then you made it mean something.
Yeah.
And then you, like, built this whole thing and all this, like, community. So it's, like, that's what it represents now when you wear that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you're saying, I think.
Well, and that's what a brand really is. Like, a brand is a relationship between, you know, a service or product provider and its consumers. It's that relationship is what really a brand is. It's not, like, the logo or the saying. It's
I think a lot of people, too, like, we got to give, like, people more credit. People are pretty damn smart, and they have, like, a sixth sense, I think, for, like, what's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and, like, when it comes to, like, art, when it comes to music, when it comes to, like, food, like, just anything. I think people nowadays especially, like, can tell, like, when things are, like, you know, pretty raw and real, or when you're kind of, like, performative or whatever it might be. So I think I kind of try to fall back on that as, like, if, personally speaking, like, if I can, like, look in the mirror and be like, all right, like, I was just, like, honest with, like, whatever I'm doing at that time. And that's just life in general. Like, in recovery as well, like, if I can be honest and, like, whatever I'm doing and just giving it my best and being proud of, like, that.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good. You can't really mess up doing that. And you can't really regret it either.
I'd like to jump in a little bit on this, the birth of Not You. I think that's a fascinating place of what goes from there is no t-shirt, there is no apparel brand, to then now there is. What was that jump in that process like?
I was in a program, like a sobriety program, when I got sober, and it was something I always, like I said, like, skateboarding in high school. I was like, dude, we should, like, print some shirts, and, like, it'd be cool if we could all, like, wear our shirt, like, or whatever. And then I never had any money. I was, like, doing, like, extracurricular activities, as you could imagine, just, like, running around town going crazy.
Any normie listening to this is going, like, what is extracurricular? What do you mean?
Damn normies, man.
Join a chess club?
Yeah. I just was, like, all over the place. I was like, yeah, it was something I kind of, like, just wanted to talk about a bunch, you know, with a bunch of my friends, but we never did anything. But then I got sober. I had, like, $400, and I was like, man, I'm going to print shirts. Like, fuck it. Like, oh, pardon my French. But, yeah, I'm going to print some shirts. I just doodled, like, I didn't know anything about, like, illustration, like, on the computer or whatever. And I just had a drawing. And I went to the local screen printing shop, called up a friend that knew some screen printing people. I went up there, and they quoted me, like, $480 for, like, 50 shirts. And then it wasn't even Not You. It was just, like, a doodle on a shirt. Yeah. So that was cool. And then, yeah, like, I sold them for, like, $20 to, like, all my friends. And, like, they, like, were like, dude, we want more. I was like, all right, cool. Like, I'll make some hoodies, man. I doodled again, this other design. And then I just basically kept doing that. I just, like, bought, like, 50 items at a time at this screen printing shop. And then eventually I was like, I'm going to call this Not You, because I don't know who I am, but I know I'm not you. And I was going through this, like, crazy period of, like, just self-discovery, like, figuring out who I was, all these things I had suppressed about myself that, like, I thought were weaknesses. I kind of view them as strengths now, all the, like, trials of my life and stuff. So, like, it's just that identity piece, like, of not knowing who I was. And then, like, yeah, like, I feel like being young too, like, and just like finding yourself and like recovery or whatever it is, dude, like,
there's a little like beginner's mind there too, right?
Yeah,
like you're just, I'm just gonna make 50 shirts, and then someone's like, oh, hey, why don't you make some more? And then you're like, oh, I'll just make more.
Yeah,
like all of the limitations and the profit margins and the how do, dude, you get it, none,
still
of that,
getting that down, like,
yeah
well, because it's cool, because what it sounds like, it wasn't like, oh, this is what I want to do, I hope people like it. Yeah. It was, oh, fuck it, I'm gonna do this thing, and then people liked it, and then the people asked for more, so then there was no question of, okay, are people gonna like this? You already had,
yeah,
knowledge that they did. But I really liked the story behind the name, because that sounds so relatable, you know, even like in recovery, it's relatable of, well, I don't know who I am, but also just like in society as it is today with, you know, like that comparison with social media and people, just so many people have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
And so that relatability piece of finding who you are, like when you realize you don't have to compare yourself to anyone, but especially the people on social media, to those fabricated lives, those curated lives, yeah. You know, 'cause that can lead you down a dark way, substances involved or not. So that's a really cool story behind that.
It was like I could like pinpoint what I wasn't, like, you know what I mean? I couldn't like look at you and explain like who I am. It's a weird question to ask, like, hey, who are you, Christian?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Explain. But it's like I could tell you I'm not like this person, I'm not like that person, I'm not like this, and I don't have that, but I know it's kinda like, so that was kinda like how I made sense of it at the time.
I still don't know how to answer the question, how are you? I always go, how are you?
I learned today that
weird person here, that doesn't answer it. Like you're at like you're in the subway line. They're like, "How you doing?" You're like, "I'm not good, man." You like overshare to like them, and they're like, "Just say you're good, dude."
Yeah. I know, because like the how are you?
I didn't really mean that.
Yeah, it's so
just, like, just say you're good, bro.
It's so easy to glaze over. How are you? What I hate is that, are you good? I'm like,
that's condescending.
Yes.
Oh my
like,
God.
Are you okay
are
today?
You good?
Like,
are you okay?
No, stop asking. Just ask me, a normal person. Ask me how I am. Like, yeah. So I can tell you I'm fine and lie and go home.
I can't remember what somebody said, but like, there's another way to do it instead of how are you as a greeting. Because how are you kind of is putting a weight or a pressure on somebody. And it sounds really like dramatic. It's not like that. But, you know, like, as opposed to how are you, I think a lot of people say like, what's new, or,
oh, I hate that one. 'Cause then it's like, new? When was the last time we talked? Yeah. A lot of things might be new.
I like this, but if you're sober, you pick up on the message. In this outline, it says that your brand isn't a sober brand, but if you are sober, or if you're in recovery, you're going to pick up on the message of what you're putting out there. And there's a song example here. Yeah.
We didn't talk about this song, but remember we were talking about like when like an artist goes to rehab or whatever, and then they start releasing new music, and you're like, wait a damn minute, I know these themes.
Yeah. It's kind of like therapy, you know, it's like working on my inner child. It's like something you wouldn't know about it unless you like go to therapy. Like kind of like the verbiage.
Yeah. You know, or just, I mean? Like what it made me think of was last year, Marilyn Manson released a song called Sick as the Secrets Within. And I was like, I read this guy's autobiography. I'm like, this is not a good dude. I'm like, is he getting sober? I'm like, I know this phrase, and I only hear sober people say this phrase.
Yeah.
It
is kind of weird how that works.
Yeah. It's like, feels like you're in on it. Like,
I know, sometimes I have to check myself. I'm like, is this confirmation bias? Like,
right.
With my, well, thinking the world is like thinking like myself or whatever.
Kid Cudi has a new song called Grave, which I'm like,
dude, he's like my favorite artist.
Oh yeah. It pisses me off. Like, so jealous, because he makes, it's like he's making the music like I can't like make. It's like, so it like simultaneously inspires me to like go and make music, but at the same time it discourages me, because I'm like, oh, I'm never gonna. But
he's like a perfect example of someone who was like vulnerable.
Yes.
Like was well received. Like he kind of made like rap in like 2012 or whatever it was, or 2010. He kind of said, like, at the time it was like, yo, hook up with girls.
Oh, make sure you're on the staying on the mic. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he was just, Kid Cudi's a man, dude. He like was.
His lyrics on this new song, Grave, is all we had was dark times, walking on a sad line, fading out, going up, coming down. using up my nine lives, justifying the goodbyes. Picture this, looking for a death wish. Life was eating me alive. The devil's got an appetite. I'm wishing for another try. And he says, I stopped running to the grave just to live another day. No maybes. I got nothing. I got everything to lose. I'm staying. I'm the only one who's going to save me. I stopped running to the grave.
I've been bumping that.
You've been bumping it?
Yeah, no.
I've been bumping it. It's like on repeat because I'm like, it feels so like good. Because I think even like not just in recovery, but like every day waking up and kind of going, am I choosing life or death? Like, am I going to choose to like live in what some of us would call the sunlight of the spirit, like in the light, and choose love and compassion and honesty and vulnerability? Or am I going to choose like hiding and resentment and anger and selfishness and self-centeredness? And so I love that I just took an opportunity to.
That's cool. No, because I used to like get high and cry listening to Kid Cudi. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a choice. I think like a lot of it, it's kind of like once you become aware of it, it's a lot of it is a choice, you know?
Yeah.
Especially once you've been given like the tools.
Mm-hmm. Like once you have been given a way out and you actively don't choose it, it ruins everything.
Yeah, it sucks. It's just no longer bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the clothing, not you. This is your full time. This is what you do now, right? Your primary gig.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing it for like, I think like 5.5 years, like officially since like COVID. But I mean, I've had like odd jobs on and off, like sometimes when the shirt doesn't sell, like we talked about. So like,
you're like, oh, there goes my dinner for the month.
Yo, literally. But yeah, you don't even know. But no, I've had like odd jobs and stuff over the years. But
and so when like that shift going from like being employed somewhere to now you're just doing your own thing, picking up odd jobs where you can. What was that shift like? As you said, so if you're 6 years in recovery, but you've been doing this for 5.5 years, that sounds pretty early into already shaky grounds.
It is crazy to think about. I think looking back, it's like people tend to see things better than you can see them. I think that's the case for not you. I think I viewed this thing as like, I don't even know what I view it as to this day. Sometimes I don't see the vision clearly. Even y'all asking me questions about it can sometimes be like, oh shit, like it's actually doing pretty good. But like, I think people like see things more clearly. Like a lot of close people in my life and like people I was getting sober with too, like really pushed me to pursue it, you know, like tons of friends. My mom, she pushed me a lot. That's one thing too, is like, I have like a parent that was like really supportive of like kind of like an untraditional path, like such as like the skateboarding thing, you know. She was down to like do that even when like there was outside factors saying like, no, don't. So yeah, like to answer your question, like it's always been a surprise. Like every order I get, every shirt I ship is kind of like, what the heck? Like, why are you getting this? Like, this is kind of crazy. Like even you like getting a shirt, I was like, oh my gosh, like should I refund him? Like, I don't know. It's like, so,
there's a video of it. He came and he brought his shirt and it comes in like this. And everybody in the office thought I bought fried chicken.
Yeah.
Cause yeah. It's in this like, Kentucky Fried, not you, round box.
Okay.
It's brilliant packaging.
Picture of it.
Yeah. Look right there. Brilliant packaging. And I think like to your point, like ever since I first saw the shirts and the brand and stuff, I've thought, oh, this is dope. Like this has the capacity to be big. Like, and like, I don't say be big, like it sounds like, but I feel like there's such a connection with the people who buy it, and I experienced that in wearing the shirt of like, it's like, you know, like when someone wears a Not You shirt, they know they're wearing a Not You shirt. Like they are like,
hell yeah,
I got my Not You on. Like, I know I'm sending a message out I'm like standing for people who can't stand. I'm going to give the opportunity for a conversation today because I have this not you shirt on, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well said, Christian. I love that. Yeah, dude. I couldn't agree more. Like, yeah. Honestly, like, I think it's just like an understanding of like not being alone and not knowing like who you are at that time. And like, there's other people, even if like you're not like in this room or whatever, like, or know me personally or whatever. Like, it's kind of like this thing that like you can kind of have like your armor on or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And like that messaging, like you said, with your, with the Most High even.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's powerful, dude. And like, it's cool that you like, even you explaining that is like kind of what exactly I was just talking about, of like the other people seeing it sometimes better than I could even articulate it. So that's fun.
Yeah. That's really cool, though, that something that you're passionate about is something that people were simultaneously encouraging you to pursue. Because I feel like that's not a common narrative when it comes to the creative types. It's usually the opposite, where the creative is like, I want to do this thing. I'm really passionate about it. I love it. It fills my soul, and I can help other people with it. And then, like, the people that they love meet them with, well, you should go into something more stable. Or like, oh, what? Like, someone that I, one of my brothers at one point was like, well, why don't you just go work at the gas station? I'm like, ow. Like, punch sometimes me in the face next time.
Sometimes that's like a logical route.
Yeah. You and it's like, I mean? It's their way of saying I love you, but it just comes out so wrong.
I think like, it's almost like a lot of people need permission. And I think I had, I needed that in a way. Mm-hmm. And I kind of probably looking back, like was probably indirectly asking for it. You know, I say, oh, like, people encourage me. But it's like, I was probably, like, subconsciously, like, hey, like, do you think I could do this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you think? And I think that's, like, a big thing is, like, being encouraging of, like, your peers, like, if you genuinely believe in them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I, like I said, I'm super blessed to have, like, my mom to, like, push me to do that, you know? Like, she's like, hell yeah, drop out of college. Like, fucking go after it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or, like, I mean, pretty much. She wasn't like that.
That's
but
great.
Like,
I want to meet your mom. No, she sounds great.
On. She's awesome. But
next week's
that's,
guest.
That's like yeah. Super not like a logical, traditional thing to tell your son, you know? But like, I feel like even like my brother and sister like turned out like uniquely like a product of that. Yeah, you got to like, and for the people that don't have that, like fuck them, dude. Like fuck anyone that like says to work at the gas station. Like. No offense, but you like that. You can't do that, you know. Especially
yeah.
If you believe in yourself. And
well, it's especially like my in my family, like my brothers they're very computer smart. Like they're very like they're good with numbers. They have like that textbook. You know, they went to school because to get a job that they have, like you have to have these years of studying. Whereas when my dad like my dad's a creative and he owns his own creative type company.
What does he do?
He has a sign company.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love signs. I've like grown fond of signs. And
stuff. That's literally my full-time job.
I see like a little picket fence, like landscaping time. I'm like, yes.
I love that. But when my dad realized that I was also a creative, he was like, don't go to college. He like, you will waste your money. Because he went to college. Yeah. Does not use his degree. Yeah. And so he's like, don't do it. He's like, you'll waste so much of your money. Like, know what you want to do. And then if you need to go to school. He's like, but if you're going to be an artist, do not go to school. And he like very much encouraged me in the other way. And I'm like so awesome. Thankful for that, because I've worked so many weird random jobs throughout the years just trying to figure out what I even want to do. But I'm just like so glad I don't have like tens of thousands of dollars of student debt, because yeah. My dad was very much like, you don't have to do it. You don't have to be like your peers. It's okay.
No, that's super cool that he was like that. I think there's somebody who said like, I used to be very anti-college, but like, dude, I applaud the people that go. But definitely, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to give educational advice. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have a new drop coming soon. You do these mystery boxes.
Yes.
What are the mystery boxes?
Doesn't that ruin the mystery?
That's a funny question.
But I'm just saying, like, what is it? You go, you buy a box, and you just don't know what you're going to get in it. Is that basically what a...
Your fried chicken.
Yeah, you might get a fried chicken.
I think sometimes people, like, I think about me, like, or I think about, like, shopping. It's the funnest part about, like, shopping on Amazon. It's, like, I'll even order something on Amazon or just online. The best part's the unboxing. And I think I saw another company do it, like, years ago. But it's been, like, a a reoccurring thing. So yeah, like there's gonna be summer edition mystery boxes dropping, I think probably tomorrow. And you basically just put in your size, put in your like top size, your bottom size, and if you like hats or not. And then you just, there's three tiers. You can do like the mini, the standard, or the big boy, which is like the big fat one. But yeah, like they're fun. Like sometimes I'll just hook people up like crazy. Like I'll just like throw like stuff that like never got released, or like some painting, or I'll put paintings in there. Oh. I've put like one of one items. It's super fun too, and like I think it's fun for them because they don't know what they're getting. You know, they're like, all right, like I don't know what I want. Like,
yeah, that sounds like we need to do a most items, like get a box for.
Yeah, because there's some brands where I'm like, I see that they have mystery boxes and that just like scares me. But then there's other brands where it's like, I have, there's so much good stuff. I don't even know where to begin. And so the mystery box is literally like, you pick for me. I don't know. I'll like it.
Yeah.
But like, so you definitely have a brand like that where it's like looking at all your merch. You're like, wow, I could just like have like a section of my closet, just be this stuff and we'll be set. So yeah, that's fun. Definitely. Mystery boxes are
you guys
shit.
Should do it. It's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was telling my buddy the other day that he should do one for his band as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like for band merch. I think it's a good play.
No, I was saying we should order one of your mystery boxes and have it shipped here, and then we all open it up. And
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. All right. So we've been talking about.
This is fun right now. This is crazy.
Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah. It's just really just, we're just talking, you know.
Yeah, conversation with microphones, remember?
Chatting it up.
So if people want to find you, we've been talking about Not You. How do they find you online?
NotYouBrand.com, baby, let's go.
Yeah. NotYouBrand.com.
Don't forget the baby, let's go.
Baby, let's go. #. And on Instagram and TikTok, NotYou_brand.
Yes, sir.
Any final thoughts or anything you want to, anything left unsaid before we close?
Thank you for having me, man. Like, this is cool. It's cool to like sit here and talk. And I think what you guys are doing is really cool. Like, Most High has like always been like something I fucking love. So it's sweet. You guys are dope. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we finally got you on.
Yeah.
The show.
And yeah, it's long overdue.
You were living like a mile from the house when we had the studio in the house, and we didn't do it. And so I was scared
to do it. Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah. Andrew was upset that we didn't wait, so he came back to Georgia to do this.
Yeah,
episode.
Costa was mad.
Maybe we'll let him do the post production on this.
We should do it again and have Costa sit in.
Oh yeah,
that'd be fun.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank the donors and supporters who make this show possible. The opioid crisis fund that makes this show possible. And for our in-studio audience, for Jason on the ones and twos, Katie's learning the ones and twos, Caleb's producing, doing quality control, Leslie's taking a nap because we're going dancing tonight, and life is good and it's beautiful. So thank you. This has been an episode of The Most High Show.
Thank you.